This is Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Lester Graham. Recently, we've been looking at recovering species, and today we're going to talk about one of the most ancient species in the Great Lakes region, the sturgeon. Ed Baker is research station manager at the Marquette Fisheries Research Station of the Department of Natural Resources, and I asked him what this fish, the sturgeon, looks like.
There are some that think they look a little bit shark-like. They've got a tail that's shaped similar to a shark. But that's, in my opinion at least, about the only resemblance to sharks. They're pretty unique among the fish fauna of Michigan. They don't have scales. They grow very large. They're the largest fish in Michigan. They can grow over 6 feet long, weigh in excess of 150 pounds.
Wow.
They don't have scales. They have some primitive characteristics. Instead of scales, they have bony plates that are arranged in five rows down the length of the body. These plates are called scutes.
And I understand these guys are basically from the time of the dinosaurs.
Correct, yes. Sturgeon fossils date back several hundred million years to the time of the dinosaurs. So they've been around and very successful critters for a very long time.
So how plentiful was the sturgeon before European settlement of the region?
It's difficult to put a number on that, but we do know that they were one of the most abundant fish in the Great Lakes. Early European explorers made note of sturgeon throughout the Great Lakes and the important relationship that the tribes in the state of Michigan and around the Great Lakes had with sturgeon. Henry Rowe Schoolcraft, in particular, one of the early European explorers, kept a journal during his travels throughout the Great Lakes and noted sturgeon being very abundant in the Ossabaw River around Mackinac Island and the Straits of Mackinac, and then actually wrote a fairly detailed account of the sturgeon and tribal harvest of sturgeon in the Ontonagon River, which is a Lake Superior tributary. His party arrived at the Ontonagon River about the time the sturgeon were spawning. Sturgeon run up rivers to spawn, much like salmon. And he described a weir that the tribe had constructed across the river several miles upstream, and they were harvesting sturgeon at this weir, and he noted that they could harvest enough sturgeon from the Ontonagon River to feed that particular tribe for the entire year.
Wow. So what happened to the population of the sturgeon?
The primary cause of the decline was overharvest. The development of the commercial fishery in the Great Lakes initially was targeting fish other than lake sturgeon, fish like whitefish or lake trout. But because sturgeon were so abundant, they were also being caught with these other species that were being targeted, and they were considered a nuisance. So the commercial fishermen would kill the sturgeon. There are descriptions of sturgeon being piled up on beaches like cordwood. Sturgeon were apparently being used to fuel some of the boilers in the ships that were traveling the Great Lakes at that time. But then there was a commercial value realized for sturgeon. And at a point in the late 1800s, the commercial fishery began targeting sturgeon for their flesh and for their eggs, which could be turned into caviar.
Oh, so we had Great Lakes caviar.
Yes.
Wow.
So the commercial fishery was responsible for the early decline, and they've remained at very low levels since about the early 1900s.
Now, I understand restoration efforts have been going on for a while, but these fish live for a long time, and they don't reproduce like other fish or as quickly as other fish. Is that right?
That's correct, yes. Sturgeon have a very long lifespan. They can outlive humans. They can, as I mentioned earlier, live to be 150-plus years old. They grow very large. The other unique aspects of their biology, which mean that they don't expand their numbers very quickly, as they don't reach sexual maturity until they're about 20 years old. And once a female lake sturgeon reaches sexual maturity, that particular female will spawn once every 3 years or so. And it's these characteristics of their biology that prevent their population numbers from expanding very rapidly.
Now, we've been managing the Great Lakes for fisheries for quite a while. How come, besides this problem you just talked about, why haven't the sturgeon already repopulated to an extent?
It's, I think, a two-part answer. One is just the demographics of the situation, meaning there are such low numbers of sturgeon since the early 1910s that they haven't been able to expand on their own very quickly. The other issue is changes to the habitat that sturgeon require for reproduction, and primarily that is dam construction on the rivers that they use for spawning. A lot of the rivers that lake sturgeon used for spawning historically have been dammed, and these dams are typically built at a point where it prevents access to spawning habitats further upstream. So the sturgeon aren't able to get to their historic spawning habitats.
I saw that this October, 3,000 juvenile sturgeons are going to be released into the Maumee River at Toledo. Are Great Lakes states all releasing sturgeon raised in hatcheries?
There is a widespread effort to try and restore sturgeon population numbers, as well as reintroduce them back into rivers that they historically occurred in. So the states of Wisconsin and Michigan and Ohio are all stocking sturgeon. New York is also stocking sturgeon in some of their waters.
I understand sturgeon will eat zebra and quagga mussels, those invasive species that have caused so much havoc in the Great Lakes. Could there eventually be enough sturgeon to keep those mussels in check?
That's, I don't think, a very easy question to answer. I think it's possible that sturgeon abundance in very local areas could be high enough to control zebra or quagga mussels, again, in a localized area. I don't know that they would ever reach an abundance high enough to control them throughout the Great Lakes, though.
Right. I guess there are trillions of those things on the lake bottoms. So,
right. And the zebra and quagga mussels are typically found in fairly deep water, deeper than sturgeon typically inhabit.
So if I want to find out more about sturgeons, where would I go?
We've got a lot of interesting information about lake sturgeon on our DNR website. There are other groups that are involved in sturgeon restoration, the Fish and Wildlife Service. You know, there are federal agencies, there are tribal agencies, nonprofit groups. For example, Sturgeon for Tomorrow has their own website. So there are lots of different places to go to find information about lake sturgeon.
If I wanted to see one, where would I go?
That's not an easy thing to do unless you go to the Shedd Aquarium.
Ah.
The Shedd Aquarium does hold sturgeon. The best opportunity to see lake sturgeon in the wild is during the spawning season. And probably the best place in Michigan to see them during the spawning season is the Upper Black River near Onaway. We've got a ongoing research program there, and as I mentioned, the Sturgeon for Tomorrow nonprofit group has a chapter on the Black Lake, and they organize volunteers in the springtime to protect the fish while they're in the river spawning. Sturgeon are very vulnerable to poaching in the springtime when they're in these rivers spawning. And we know that that's been a problem, as well as, you know, the past commercial harvest poaching has been an issue in some places as well. So you can get to the Sturgeon for Tomorrow website and find out. You can actually sign up as a volunteer to guard the sturgeon and see lots of fish in the Upper Black River.
That is Ed Baker. He's at the Michigan Department of Natural Resources Marquette Fisheries Research Station. Hey, thanks for telling us about the sturgeon.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
By the way, the Toledo Blade reports that some juvenile sturgeon are at the Toledo Zoo's streamside rearing facility and will be there until they're released into the Maumee River in October. Little baby sturgeon. How could you resist? That's Stateside for today. I'm Lester Graham. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.